Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, and it is Tuesday, May 24th. This Mary Griffith Show and every Mary Griffith Show powered by Harvest Ridge Coffee from Refreshment Services Pepsi. Brew it at home or pick it up at your nearest convenience store. It's always a great time for Harvest Ridge Coffee on WTAD. We're going to head over to the phone lines and say good morning to my first guest, Adam Dusterhaus from the United Way of Adams County. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Mary. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic. You sound great. So much super stuff is happening at the United Way. You're in that transitional period. Fundraising is never over, but the big campaign has ended. And, of course, we haven't started our new campaign. But right now, your agencies are busy looking at who's going to get the money that was raised at the United Way campaign, and you're also recruiting new volunteers for next year. So tell us all about it, please.
That is exactly right, yeah. Well, Mary, you know this better than most because you've been on, you know, I think all sides, not just both sides, but all sides of, you know, the decision factors. So it's resource investment time. Resource investment is just the name that we give, you know, the period of time that we actually allocate these funds. We just got done with our 2021 campaign, and we raised the funds. That was the development arm of things, but now we are in the investment side of things. So now we are taking those investments, and we are putting them back into the people that, you know, need our support the most, and that includes, among others, our 19 partner agencies, okay? So these 19 partner agencies are, you know, different social service agencies here in Quincy and the surrounding area in Adams County. All of them are in Adams County, of course, because we are United Way of Adams County, and they are all contributing to the betterment of Adams County together through what we call our three key areas: health, education, and financial stability. So every social service partner that we have, you know, contributes to, you know, making those areas stronger, you know, at their respective agencies. So some of these agencies you've heard of, some of them you've not, but they all make the community better as a whole. So we're glad to support them. You know, we ask them every year, you know, what would you do if not for our funds? And, you know, what they respond back with is we'd either have to raise it them ourselves or we would just do without. And I think, Mary, that, you know, the two of us and our listeners can all agree that, you know, some of these services, if not all of these services, are far too important to just, you know, leave the chance or leave to, you know, a state funding that could always dry up or a special event that could, you know, not raise as much as prior years. So, you know, we're happy to do this, but we can only do this with the community's investment. So this panel of people, these resource investment volunteers, it is, yes, managed by United Way staff, but the decision makers, the true decision makers as to where these funds go and wind up are not United Way staff. They are from various industries, all of them volunteer, donating their hours, not getting paid, but just doing it because it's the right thing to do. They're from various backgrounds and industries and strengths, and we're happy to have them. So there's a team of it's a little bit over 30 volunteers, Mary, and I know that you've been one of them in the past. So, yes, we are always recruiting volunteers. We don't need any resource investment volunteers for this year, but if you'd like to volunteer next year and see where these investments wind up and how these community dollars are impacting our partner agencies, just let us know. Give us a call, 217-222-5020, and ask how you can be involved in not just resource investment, but the United Way mission altogether, Mayor, because it's a wonderful mission, it's a wonderful agency, and we're really helping change lives each and every day here in Adams County.
I think it is so beneficial. Because of jobs I've had in the past, I've been an agency that asked for help as the CEO. I've been on the board that gives out the money. I've been helping to raise the money. I've seen it from all sides. And I will tell you, the more you know about the good the United Way does, the more supportive you are of United Way. So I would just encourage everyone that, yes, they always need help on the campaign asking for money. But if you want to get started and really understand where the rubber meets the road, be on some of these committees that intake the requests and then give out the money, and you will definitely figure out how quickly that they're very careful about not duplicating services, about making sure that there is a good alignment. And if there's synergy between multiple United Way agencies, you do that. Adam, you're always on top of everything that's happening up to the minute. And we have seen something that you and I could not have predicted in January, and that is this rising inflation, and not just inflation in general, but the cost of some significant things like gasoline and food. This disproportionately impacts some of our lower income and more struggling families. I know the United Way has been working on helping people with budgeting, with budget management, with income management. How has this spike in gasoline costs and in food costs affected some of the families that United Way has worked so hard with to get them financially secure?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, Mary, that it has disproportionately impacted the most vulnerable, the most at risk. You know, there are people that still have jobs and can't afford it, but then there's people that were just making ends meet, living paycheck to paycheck, which, you know, statistically, Mary, I think is a large, large majority of Adams County residents. So you're exactly right when you say that, you know, gas prices increasing, food prices increasing, makes families and individuals across our county feel the pinch that much more. They literally have to decide between medication, paying their utilities, gas to get them to work, food for their families, their children. So we have seen an increase in ask. I don't have those exact numbers in front of me. My colleague Jenna, who helps run our helpline, she would know more than me on that. But, you know, we've seen people call in and try to get gas vouchers so that they can make it to work or make it to a medical appointment. We've seen people call in and want to, on the reverse side of that, we've seen people say, you know, I want to help. How can I help? Can I donate food items? And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but, you know, perhaps the food banks could talk more about, you know, the increase in food items being taken from their pantries. That's a nice segue, Mary, into what we just got done finishing up. About 2 weeks ago, it was May 14th, was the collection day. It was the Stamp Out Hunger. I know that you talked about that a little bit, and thank you so much for pushing that, because we saw some tremendous support this past year. If anybody's not familiar with Stamp Out Hunger, it is the nation's largest food drive, actually, and it happens the second Saturday of each May. It's happened for 30 years. This was the 30th year for it, Mary. And it is a combination of, there's many different sponsors. United Way is one of the major ones nationwide, including here in this area, and we were happy to be part of it. But it's actually managed by the National Association of Letter Carriers, which, you know, is the union for the post office, of course, and post office workers and volunteers on that Saturday, May 14th, a couple weeks ago, went around, and you might have seen them carrying big bags of food, you know, and you're thinking, what's a letter carrier carrying a bag of food for, you know? And it's because people let a bag of non-perishable food items on their doorstep or by their mailbox, and those letter carriers and volunteers pick them up and then return them back to the distribution center. And we are happy to report, Mary, that we finished with well over 9,000 pounds of food for nine food pantries here in Adams County. So today is the 24th. Last Monday, on the 16th, we actually had the collection day where we actually distributed the food items that we collected. And it was all weighed and it was all divvied up, and each food pantry, each of the nine food pantries, got equal parts of food items. And, you know, I talked to a couple of them as they came with their trailers and trucks, and I said, you know, what does this mean to you? And they just said, oh, man, this means everything. Because if you think about it, Mary, you know, we're not in the quote-unquote holiday season right now. You know, we're not in the season of giving. You know, it's not year's end. It's not fall harvest. And a lot of people think, well, you know, I donated last fall. You know, those food pantry shelves are still stocked. Well, not necessarily, Mary, because, you know, kids are going to be getting out of school here pretty soon. And, you know, this is awful to think about, but, you know, when school lets out, some of these kids, that's their only meal for the day, you know. So you got to be thinking about these families, like I just said, are the most vulnerable, are the most impacted when gas prices increase or food prices increase. So this was a great example of the community giving back and stepping up where they can and how they can. And this is just the latest example of that. We haven't been able to do this since 2019. 2019 was the last time that the Stamp Out Hunger happened. So we couldn't do it in 2020, obviously, and they decided not to do it last year. But we're really grateful for, you know, the National Association of Letter Carriers. There were some great volunteers down there at the post office. I can't name them all. I'd leave somebody out, but they know who they are. But just thank you to the post office workers here in Quincy and Adams County. Anybody listening that helped donate food items, left a bag of non-perishable food items on your doorstep or at your mailbox. We're really thankful for the community stepping up and giving, you know, their time and their treasures for those less fortunate here in Adams County, Mary.
It is so important. And as you said, food collection is something that has to happen, really. I know they have the fall harvest, then everybody gives it Christmas mm-hmm. time. Then there's the Super Bowl time when we give soup.
Yeah.
And then there's the Letter Carriers Day the second week in May. And then somebody usually has some kind of thing, you know, right around the start of school again because of childhood hunger. So the United Way is on the front edge of trying to make sure that the marginalized in our society are not forgotten. And this is a time when we're all feeling the pinch. I mean, there's nobody who's excited about $5 a gallon gasoline. Mm. But for some people, it's an annoyance and an inconvenience. And for others, it's the difference, you know, between not being able to get back and forth to their job yeah. or to the grocery store. So it's also a time this helpline is open. I think people need to understand that the United Way supports member agencies and supports programs that are ongoing, but they also, you do have the unmet needs and the helpline. Let's give that a little bit of a plug before I let you go.
Yeah, that's a great thing to plug, Mary. You know, unmet needs born out of the flood of 1993. So we're going on, 30 years of, you know, helping and giving back. It's a committee of volunteers, both United Way volunteers and church members that listen to these, cases of applicants that submit, you know, a proposal for a request for a need of some kind, whether that be medication, whether that be helping pay a utility bill, helping pay a medical bill. And then, you know, they vote on giving out a certain amount, and then that individual or family is helped in a big, big way. So, you know, that can be learned more about by calling our phone number 217-222-5020 and ask how you can get involved with the Unmet Needs Committee. You'll just have to, inquire about volunteering on either the committee, or if you're needing assistance, you know, call that number as well, 222-5020. And then what was the other one, Mary? I'm sorry.
Well, we talk about, you know, the helpline. I mean, there may be people who are
and
I think sometimes people wait almost too late to call the helpline.
Yeah.
It's really a crisis. But, you know, like I said, for the unmet needs, getting back to that, you know, you're going to go to the grocery store anyway. Maybe there's a family that can't get to the grocery store. It's not any more gas out of your tank to pick them up and take them, you know. So sometimes mm-hmm. people are really struggling right now. So if there's, you know, it's like, well, I go to the grocery store every, you know, Thursday evening, or I go every, you know, Friday morning or whatever, I'd be happy to take a mom who, you know, needed a ride to the grocery store and help her get her groceries back home. Because we forget that if you don't have transportation in our area or you can't afford $5 a gallon gas, it's really hard. So the helpline also, you know, helps people that have immediate needs. And one thing we do want to talk about that is there are folks out there who are really struggling. Try to call early enough so that the United Way can get some more permanent solution to your problem.
Exactly. That's a good point. We see it every day. People call with, you know, these very, very high utility bills and, you know, saying, I've got a week to pay this. And, you know, we would love to help mitigate that, the severity of that amount, you know. So, yeah, the sooner the better. And if we can't work with you, we'll try to find an area or agency that can. You know, there's many different agencies out there that can help alleviate some of the pressure that is caused by, you know, these higher prices of things, higher goods and gas and food. So, give us a call. We'd like to work with you. We'd like to, you know, send you in the right direction. Call that number, 217-222-5020. And, you know, we'd like to work with you and get you back on the right track to being financially stable, being healthier, being more knowledgeable about how you can live a more sustainable life.
It is so great to talk to you, Adam. Always better, of course, when I can see your beautiful smiling face in person, but we can't have everything we want. That's one of life's little mysteries. So you take care, my good man. I will talk to you next month. And folks, remember that number, 222-5020. If you'd like to volunteer for the United Way, you'd be surprised all the different kinds of jobs they have that they need volunteers for. And if you've got some extra time, now's the time to step up and help the United Way. Adam, have a great day.
Thanks so much, Mary.
Thank you. It is 9:33. We're going to talk about a winery experience, hopefully, in just a few minutes. But right now, we'll head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative, see what's happening on the farm markets today. Oh, I like to call that the Charlie and Gina song. I'm everything I am because you loved me. I know it's supposed to be about romantic love, but I can't help but think of my parents every time I hear that song. Joining me on the phone lines, a gentleman who's new to the Mary Griffith Show, Warren Hagen, and he has a winery down at Mark Twain Lake in little old Florida, Missouri, the very birthplace home of Mark Twain. We think of his boyhood home, and we certainly should have Hannibal, but the birthplace home of Mark Twain. Good morning, Mr. Hagen. Welcome, Warren, to the Mary Griffith Show.
Well, thank you for having me, Mary. I'm a longtime listener. I actually used to do plastic surgery there at Blessing Hospital, but now my daytime job is with the Florida Winery, and we are located in Florida, Missouri, beautiful birth spot of Mark Twain and the epicenter of the Mark Twain Lake.
Now, how long has this winery been in existence?
We planted our vineyard 9 years ago, but we ended up using most of the juices from California and Washington because we felt like they made a much better tasting wine. Plus, they have the European recognition of the names like Cabernet, Merlot, Riesling, Chardonnay, and, of course, Moscato. So people's palates enjoy these things perhaps a little better than what the Midwestern grapes can produce.
And we certainly have a lot of Midwestern wineries where we can enjoy those local grapes if we want. So you do grow grapes there in Florida, but by and large, you're using California and Oregon coast, those California coast juices, to make kind of that Napa Valley kind of wine right here in the Midwest?
Yes, European and Napa Valley, Sonoma Valley, but actually we do have some Midwestern wines as well. We have Chamberson and Vignole as well. So if people have had an educated palate from some of the local wineries around, we do have some of those available for them. And, of course, on a real hot summer day, we have wonderful selling wine slushies. These are peach and blackberry and are very popular.
I should say they would be. The winery, you planted your first grapes 9 years ago. Thank you for letting us know about this fabulous winery. Tell us a little bit about the physical location. Let's paint a picture. Right now people are sitting in Quincy and Hannibal and Nauvoo and even over in Jacksonville, Pittsfield.
Absolutely.
How do we get there and where are you?
Well, we are located in the birth site where Mark Twain was born, and this is located right in the heart of the Mark Twain Lake. From Quincy, it's only 55 miles, less than a one-hour drive, basically taking either Highway 24 through Palmyra or I-72 down through Hannibal. This becomes U.S. 24, 36, and then when you get to Monroe City, you continue on U.S. 24 for about 14 or 15 miles, and that'll bring you to Missouri 107. That'll take you directly to Florida. Or if you're coming by boat, a lot of the boaters on the Mark Twain Lake realize that Florida sticks out in a peninsula where the three branches of the Mark Twain Lake all come and converge in a beautiful panoramic 3-mile expanse of the lake, the prettiest probably on the entire lake. So we feel like you can get here fairly easily, and our phone number is 573-565-2400 if you should have need for directions, or you can contact us at floridawinery@gmail.com. And our website is all one word, floridaresortandwinery.com, floridaresortandwinery.com. And that's because we do rent out certain rooms. We like to pride ourselves of saying that we are on the lake and not near the lake.
And how did you pull that off? I want to know about that, Warren. I'm curious about that because the only person I know that ever lived on the lake were my friends, the park rangers at the time, the Cunnings. They had the most beautiful home on Mark Twain Lake. How are you on the lake? I thought the Corps of Engineers controlled the whole thing.
Well, let me rephrase that. Florida as a peninsula is completely surrounded three sides by water. So when I say we're on the lake, we are a mere stone's throw, probably less than 50 yards from the lake and less than 20 yards from where Mark Twain was actually born. So, maybe I should say we're near the lake, but not in a cornfield.
You're very, very near the lake.
We do have a beautiful view of the lake. And as I say, we are accessible by the lake. People come on their various pontoons and that. After a hot day of fun in the sun, it's a great solution to come here to Florida Winery, cool down, sipping the wine, listening to great music, conversing with friends, either new or old, on our beautiful breezy covered outdoor patio. And this Saturday and Sunday, both days, we are having live entertainment. The winery opens up at noon and goes till 7 p.m., but our live entertainment Saturday is from 4 to 6, and we have a wonderful rock and roll band from Columbia, Missouri, called the Bannister Tarleton Band. They play the 70s and 80s classic rocks, and they're very, very good. You can bring a chair to sit down, although we have plenty of room. I think usually sometimes on the holidays, you might be wise to have a chair in the car. But I don't think you'll be sitting very long when you hear these guys play their music. And then on Sunday, again, open from 12 to 7 with live entertainment from Becky Denton and her husband, Will, a popular entertainer here in the region who are from Nashville. And Becky and Will will be entertaining again from 4 to 6 p.m. We feel like they will have big crowds both days, and the weather promises to be exceptionally nice, mostly sunny with temperatures in the 80s to 87 degrees. Doesn't look like much chance for rain. And finally, on Memorial Day, the winery will be open from 12 to 4. That's Monday, but we will not necessarily have live entertainment on that day. But we do have good music piped in, and the patio will be open for sipping and enjoyment of leisure time.
I'd like to ask you a question about these California juices and Oregon juices that you bring in. I'm fascinated by this because I know that many of our local wineries, even if they have a big vineyard there, they can't possibly produce enough grapes to produce all the wines that they bottle. So how does this stuff get here? Does it come in a big refrigerated truck? Does it have to be refrigerated? Is it a tanker car? Is it by rail? How do you get it?
It's refrigerated in plastic containers, and it's usually shipped so that it will not sit in a warehouse over the weekend. So they might send it out on Monday, and we receive it on Thursday. As a matter of fact, we're expecting a shipment of juices from Washington State this week for Riesling as well as for Chardonnay. Mary, we're sorry we have to disappoint you that you can't come and stomp the grapes like Lucy in our... But we could arrange that, probably.
Well, and then, of course, wine takes a while. So, like, when you get this truckload in of all this great juice, and you're going to make this Riesling, It still has to ferment. Tell us about the process. I mean, don't go into great scientific detail, but when you get that truckload of juice, how long is it before it becomes a bottle of Riesling that you can put out then at Florida Winery for people to enjoy on the patio?
Excellent question. The wines we are serving now are the wines from last year's harvest and vineyard. Assuming we started a fermentation process today, it would be 6 weeks before that wine would actually be stable, having gone through a bacteria and a yeast fermentation. And then it probably would take another good 2 months to probably develop a nice taste. You know, that's why the white wines, they say, are the money makers, and they can mature and be ready to serve, you know, within 3 to 4 months. But the red wines may take 6 months to a year to really reach a certain apex or the fine taste that they might have as they develop their tannins and go through that fine elimination of some of the acidity in it. I've taken several courses online from Missouri State in enology, which is winemaking, and it was sort of like taking organic chemistry back in the days when I was in pre-med at the University of Notre Dame. So it is a fine art to make good wine.
A fine art to make good wine. And you say the slogan is where history and literature meet over a glass of wine. We won't have time to discover all of that today, but there's a tie between Mark Twain, Ulysses S. Grant, the Civil War, and Florida, Missouri. And I think this is fantastic. I'm so glad you were able to give me some time today to let people know about this. I hope everybody will head down for the Memorial Day weekend and enjoy the Florida Winery. Give us again your website address and your phone number so we can get in contact with you if you want more information.
All right, Mary. Well, just remember, Mark Twain said it as far as his Civil War experience. He learned more about retreating than the man who invented retreating in Florida, Missouri, as he ran from Ulysses Grant, as Grant approached with 1,050 men. But our phone number is 573-565-2400, and our email is floridawinery@gmail.com. We're on Facebook at Florida Winery. The website again is Florida Resort and Winery, all one word, Florida Resort and Winery.com. And we would look forward to seeing all your listeners out here, if not this weekend, throughout the summer. We're open on Saturdays, and we will be glad to take calls as they need it.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Florida, Missouri is an interesting place. The birthplace shrine is there. Not much else is there, but it's a beautiful little town and the only town on the lake, as you said, the only town that wasn't flooded and put down underneath the lake. So we're looking forward to that. The phone number again, 573-565-2400, or just go to Florida Winery. And you'll find out all the information you need to know about their blackberry peach ice wine slushies, their Moscatos, my favorite, and all their wines, both locally made and from the California and Washington State juices. Thank you so very much for your time today. Warren, it was great to talk to you. I hope to see you again soon in Florida.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you for your listeners' attention. We appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
No problem. 7 minutes away from Fox News at the top of the hour. We'll take a break when we come back. If you've got something you'd like to say, we've got time for a couple of open phone questions. The city of Quincy has been hacked. Are you worried that you could be hacked? Is everybody going to be hacked? What safety measures can we possibly have to keep our computer system safe?